Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour lunar eclipse limbo. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, San Angelo to San Antonio, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
Thanks so much for being with us. And as always, we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Hey, we got a good show coming up for you this morning. We appreciate you being with us. Coming up this morning here on the program, we'll do Forgotten Classics. Remember the time Michael Jordan dropped 50? I'm sure you remember a couple of times. His double nickel at Madison Square Garden upon his return in 1995. The 60-plus that he dropped at Boston Garden in the 86 playoffs. Do you remember when Michael dropped 50 for the Wizards on an amazing night when MJ was on his last legs, his final two seasons of his NBA career, his return to the NBA via the Wizards? Michael Jordan had a turn-back-the-clock night for the Wizards. The voice of the Wizards that night, and still to this day, is Dave Johnson. He's going to join us to reflect and remember MJ's 51 in Washington coming up here in hour number three. In hour number four, let's go back to last weekend's NASCAR race when Cole Custer, the rookie, went four wide to win at Kentucky. He had one of the most stirring moments of this year's NASCAR season that vaults him into the All-Star race as well with the win. And so Cole's going to join us coming up in hour number four. So this should be a lot of fun this morning here on the program, as we have Dave Johnson, Forgotten Classics, Cole Custer, NASCAR rookie after the win in Kentucky. Also coming up this morning on the show, is there no path for college football season? Do we believe the Washington football squatter? Gronk discusses his decision to play in Tampa Bay and whether there was some fixings behind the scenes between him and Tom Brady right here on CBS Sports Radio yesterday. And college hoops takes another ding, another hole to its bow. What does this mean? We'll talk about that as well coming up later on in the show. So the Thursday is here. We're off and rocking, and NFL offseason contractual news. One guy gets done, one guy does not. We'll talk about the player that got his deal done, Derrick Henry. The Titans bruiser won the NFL rushing title last year, had more yards than anybody else, 1,540 yards. He also was a sledgehammer for the Titans in their run toward the end of the season to the playoffs and their wild card win, obviously. He was enormous against New England, and then just as enormous against the Ravens in the divisional round. Without Derrick Henry, there's no way the Titans do what they did last year. Ryan Tannehill had a really nice rebound season, but Derrick Henry was the crucial piece of that offense. And maybe surprisingly, the Titans found a deal with him. A lot of people didn't think that they would come to terms yesterday, but the Titans and Derrick Henry reached an agreement on a four-year, $50 million deal. That's about $12.5 million per season, with about $25 million guaranteed. They came to that big deal with Ryan Tannehill. Now they come to their deal with Derrick Henry as well. Here's what's interesting about this, is that Derrick Henry, with this deal, in terms of average money per season, becomes the fifth highest running back. That's behind Christian McCaffrey's record deal, Ezekiel Elliott's deal last year, Le'Veon Bell's deal last year, and David Johnson, who signed his deal with the Cardinals and was traded to the Texans in their deal earlier this offseason involving DeAndre Hopkins. Now, when I see this deal for the Titans, I go, this is great. You've got Derrick Henry locked up. Of course, money for running backs is always a bit of a crapshoot, but it feels like Derrick Henry has figured something out the last two seasons, and so you feel like he's ascending. He's more productive than ever before, and at least what we saw from him on film and on TV last year, he is a weapon to be utilized to get you where you want to be going. So you got to like it from that standpoint. And also you got to like that you got your two biggest stars in offense locked up this offseason after it feels like you turned the corner last year. But I think what you also have to like is when you look at those top five running back salaries, there's no way you would say that Derrick Henry is the fifth best. So he signs a contract most recently out of all of them, and I think monetarily, you got a deal. It is where we begin your cold open.
Tannehill and company start at their own 26. Here comes Henry 30, Henry 40, Henry 50, Henry stiff arm 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, end zone, touchdown, Titans! Do you want some of that? Yes, you do.
He's getting, what, $25 million guaranteed. That's a pretty serviceable number based on what he's been able to do production-wise. And he's not, you know, per year salary. You got Christian McCaffrey, you got Ezekiel Elliott. So they were able to give him a good deal, but they didn't overpay, I don't think, for Derrick Henry's services. And I think both parties are happy with the deal.
I don't believe it.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
So that was Mike Keith, the voice of the Titans on Titans Radio, followed by Bryant McFadden, CBS Sports HQ NFL analyst. Here's the deal. That Derrick Henry is now the fifth highest paid running back in the NFL. And you know what? He's better than the fifth best back in the NFL. When you look at this list, Christian McCaffrey does it all. McCaffrey is amazing coming out of the backfield. McCaffrey is great on the ground as well. McCaffrey's an MVP candidate. So understandably, as a weapon, you could see him being the highest paid running back in the league. Also, Ezekiel Elliott. Elliott, I think, has been doing it at a high level for longer than Derrick Henry. So you could make the argument, certainly, that Zeke is better than Derrick Henry. But the other two guys, I mean, look, Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson are making more money than Derrick Henry. This is a steal for the Titans. When you sign a guy, you are oftentimes paying a tax. And that tax is the more recent the contract, the more money it's going to be, despite the level of competition against one another. And you might say, well, Derrick Henry's the most recent signee at running back. He's going to make the most money. But to get him at the fifth highest salary and not the first or the second is really a deal for the Titans. Because in terms of the way that the Jets utilize Le'Veon Bell, and in terms of the way that the Texans are going to get a 75%, maybe less, of David Johnson, this is a great deal for the Titans. Now, there is obviously an inherent risk with a guy like Derrick Henry. He is a physical running back. And physical running backs, where they take and dole out punishment, are going to last shorter careers, fewer seasons than guys that can skitter around, avoid contact, and play outside the hash marks. It's just going to be that way. So Derrick Henry's unlikely to play a really long time in the NFL at a really high level. He's going to have a lot of wear and tear on those tires. But you don't have him signed to some extraordinarily long deal. You get him on four seasons. So is it possible by year three or year four it's not the same Derrick Henry? It's possible. Is it possible that after the 4 years you're not going to want Derrick Henry anymore? Certainly, certainly probable. But in terms of where you get Derrick Henry for the Titans and what he did for you last year, yeah, I think this is a win for both sides. I really do. And if you're a Titans fan, you've got to love the fact that you wake up this morning and you know we've got Tannehill, we've got Henry, we've got them locked up long term. Let's go back out to work and see how good we are in the AFC South again this season after last year's run, Cinderella-wise, to an AFC championship game. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, you can throw a tweet at me, DA on CBS on the matter. Now let's talk about Dak Prescott, because his deal does not get done. Derrick Henry does get done long-term, four-year deal. Dak Prescott, the date comes and goes. And so Dak is going to play on the franchise tag this year. No long-term deal between the Cowboys and their quarterback. This is a real game of Russian roulette played by the Cowboys. Because, yes, you're forcing Dak Prescott to prove it again this season. But once you get to the offseason next year, once you get to winter 2021, now you've absolutely got to get a deal done. You have run out of time for this offseason, and you've only got one more offseason. He'll be franchised this year. It'll be a lot of money, $37 million. Once you get to next offseason, you have to get a deal done. Yes, he can play another year on the franchise tag, but that means going into 2022, you will not be able to tag him again. The money that you'd have to give him in 2022 is $54 million for one season. If Dak Prescott goes through this year and plays really well, if Dak Prescott goes through this year and the Cowboys are contenders, if Dak Prescott goes through this year and knows, you know what? I am going to wait and go to the open market, then he bet on himself and he bet right. Because that means next offseason, and he just doesn't sign, he says, you know what? After all of this, I just want to be a free agent. That the Cowboys will basically have, after this year, 1 year with Dak Prescott, and then we'll be right back to trying to find a quarterback. Because they're not going to pay $54 million for one player for one season. And if he leaves in free agency, the Cowboys only get a third-round draft pick. So this is put, yes, pressure on Dak to succeed. Of course, he can't slide back to the pack. He can't have a major injury. But if Dak is what Dak has always been, the Cowboys just got pinched. By not getting a deal done, now the Cowboys just got pinched. So we'll see if it ends up paying dividends for Dak. We'll see if he can continue to do that. My vibe is this. My vibe is that both sides don't trust one another. And here's what I mean. I think the Cowboys look at Dak Prescott not as a franchise quarterback with elite talent deserving of money. They look at him as a fourth-round draft pick. And I think Dak Prescott thinks that they look at him in a disrespectful way and wants to overcompensate for the money that they give him. I think he wants to make them pay for viewing him in what he feels is an unfair light, which is why this never got done. The Cowboys said, you're not elite, elite tier money. We've got a lot of other pieces around you that make you great. And I think Dak Prescott said, how dare you pay me more than what I should be worth or what you think I'm worth, because I'm not going to be disrespected by you. And that leads us to where we are right now. But the Cowboys are in a pinch now because he's going to play on that contract. And when you look at the history of quarterbacks on a franchise deal, only two guys in recent history have done it. Drew Brees in 05 with the Chargers. Kirk Cousins in Washington. What do they both have in common? They left. Starting quarterbacks on franchise deals are rare, and when it happens, they leave. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. When we come back, we've got Soundcheck, your best audio of the day. This is exciting. Doc Rivers joking about the NBA security around the bubble. 1-800-SNITCH-OUT-THE-NBA. And live audio from the cavalcade of sporting events that Schwartz attended just 2 days ago. It's coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, we start with Doc Rivers. This anonymous snitch line around the NBA has gotten a lot of attention. We talked about it yesterday on the show as well. The NBA players are relegated to the bubble in Orlando, but there's an anonymous tip hotline that you can call and let the league office know that there are players that are being irresponsible inside and outside the bubble. We had two guys already suspended earlier this week. Suspended being quarantined to their hotel rooms for an extra 10 days. Here's Doc Rivers talking about that anonymous tip hotline and who he's going to call in to report.
I turn in LeBron yesterday. I'm turning in, Pop today. I'm trying to turn all these guys in. I think it's phenomenal. We're going to be the only team left when I'm done with this hotline thing. So, it's funny. I know about it, but I don't think it's a problem at all. I think it's good. Like we do, this is not some normal thing. COVID, obviously, is not only that you can get sick, but you can get other people sick. And so this is very important for all of us. We want to do our jobs. And so I think having a hotline, I guess that's what they're calling it. I guess that's important.
As I said yesterday, I don't blame the guys that are calling the anonymous tip line. I know snitches get stitches. I know nobody likes somebody that snitches on one another. I know that in every gangster movie, the guy who sings is looked at as a lowlife and pathetic. But at the same time, for basketball purposes, this is as serious as it gets. That if you don't have everybody buying in, it puts at risk everybody inside the bubble. And so the fear that you could get snitched on is maybe enough for some guys to play it straight. And look, I don't like as much as anybody the idea that you basically are a prisoner in Disney World, but you've opted into this. You have decided to enter this to get paid, to try to win a championship, to do the thing that you love. There are sacrifices that come with it. And one of those sacrifices is, unfortunately for you, for 3 to 4 months, if you're there that long, for the time being, you can't leave. It's just the way that it goes. Unfortunately for you, you can't leave. And so, would I love to think that the NBA doesn't need a snitch hotline? Sure. Would I like to believe that just security can handle all of this stuff and you don't need anybody else calling out any of their peers, colleagues, teammates, opponents, what have you? Sure. But if this helps keep guys in check, which ultimately helps the season be played, we got to be all for it. I mean, none of us want to see the NBA restart and then have it upended because there's an outbreak of COVID 2 weeks in. So if this is what it takes to get the league played, then it's a win. It has to be. If this is what it's going to take. Here's Patrick Walker, CBS Sports HQ analyst, explaining why Dak, as we just talked about last segment, did not get a contract extension from the Cowboys.
The expectation from all sides had always been that a deal would get done, even if it went down to the buzzer, so to speak. But as the deadline approached, it was basically a silent stare down as the Cowboys stood firm on 5 years on their latest offer, which would have been $35 million a year as an average annual pay, $106 million guaranteed, but willing to go upwards of $110 million or more if they could get Dak Prescott to agree to a fifth year. But Prescott and representation Todd France were simply not going to do that. They were dug in at 4 years. So while the two sides did make compromises in the length of the negotiation of the contract over the past few months, when it came to this week, it was basically a silent stare down. I'm told that the Cowboys did actually reach out to Todd France and Dak Prescott an hour or so ahead of the NFL deadline, hoping to convince them to take that 5-year deal that they put on the table. But as it stands, obviously, France and Prescott, they wanted the 4 years and they were not going to come off of that.
Cowboys are playing with fire here. Do I think that Dak Prescott's a top five quarterback in the NFL? No, I don't. Do I think that he's Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson or one of these young cats that you just expect stardom from and that they can only get better? Not at that caliber, not at that level. But the Cowboys have won with Dak Prescott, and it's hard to find a franchise quarterback. And you kind of lucked into one in the fourth round, and now you've created enough bad blood to where Dak is willing to play at 1 year franchise tag. It is a game of chicken that the Cowboys are risking getting priced out or creating enough bad blood to where they just lose their franchise QB. And finally, this is really exciting. You know, 2 days ago was a huge day for Peter Schwartz, our former update anchor here on the DA show, because he had tweeted that he was overwhelmed with excitement about his day that would potentially include not one, not two, but three sporting events. Now, in today's climate, under quarantine, I mean, the idea that there's three sporting events that Schwartz could attend is remarkable. I mean, it gets all of our juices flowing. And we learned that one of them was the Islanders practice getting ready for their departure for Toronto and the NHL bubble. Okay. All right. NHL practice, that's a cool thing. We learned that one of them was dropping his son off at a lacrosse clinic. Okay. All right. Maybe less of a sporting event and more like a parental responsibility. But then the third was his other son's baseball camp. So, you know, who says there's no sports? Who says? Well, we have audio of a double hit by Peter's son at this baseball camp. This is courtesy of Schwartz on Sports' Twitter handle. Let's play this clip. Now that's big. Now that's big. That's the sounds of summer. That's the sounds of the crack of the bat. The sounds of the fans of the stands. That's what we're looking for. And just to describe it, you know, young Jared strokes it into left center field, lumbers to first base, makes the turn, heads to second, beats out the throw, and this was Pete's tag on this, his caption: "My son Jared smokes a double in Little League baseball camp. It probably should have been a triple, but he has my speed. For my boy, I'm deeply sorry, but I'm still a, quote, proud papa.
Go, 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 go!
Who says there's no sports? Who says? That is your sound check.
Ventilating.
That is your sound check. Mraz, I'm really glad that we dug up this live audio, this scintillating audio of the sounds of the sport coming back.
Before I sent this to Connor last night for sound check, I wanted to go over this audio with a fine-tooth comb in this video. I watched it 11 times. I watched more of this clip than I have any Korean baseball yet. And I must say, two things stand out. Number one, I might have missed it there. There is one fan or dad in the crowd that goes, "Way to go, Jared," which was very funny. Number two, Schwartz calling out his son publicly on social media for how slow he is, and he is slow in that video. The kid is all of like 11 years old. Did it dawn on Pete that 11 years old aren't naturally born that lumbering slow and got their speed from the dad? No, he's that slow because you're feeding the kid IHOP on Mother's Day, Miller's Air House every Wednesday. That's why he's slow at 11 years old. He should have youth speed. I was a fat slob at 11, but I still had more speed than that. It's not you were born with daddy's speed. No, you were born into daddy's diet. That's why he's slow and lumbering around. I have never seen a kid that slow to turn from first to second in my life. He's basically a guy who already needs the softball designated runner, and he's 11 years old.
What's interesting is that young Jared towers over the first baseman. I don't know if there's a lot of skewed ages here, but it seems like when Jared turns around first, that if he's 11, that the first baseman might be 7. I mean, this kid is just a tiny toddler. So if he's out there, I mean, he is mashing maybe with some kids that are a bit younger than him. But,
oh,
you know,
interesting.
The baseball clinic is up there. I'm going to say that Jared's got a good swing. He did. He roped it. He's got some power behind him. I like that swing from Jared.
It was a little clunky, but as you noted here, look, there's a lot of parents just finally feeling comfortable allowing their kids to go out and play youth sports again, especially here in New York after what we went through. I wonder if a lot of Jared's age group, just the kids have bowed out for the summer, and Schwartz, so desperate to get his kid involved, has found a baseball clinic where he's playing with kids 3 years older than him, younger than him, which is prompting him to feast on bad pitching and tower over first baseman. That's the only thing that can make sense to me. Is Jared a sixth grader feasting on fourth grade pitching is what I want to know right now.
So it's like Aaron Judge rehabbing a Triple A. He's
right.
Just absolutely crushing Triple A pitching right now.
Right. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
By the way, I just want you to, as the Schwartz beat reporter, I want you to decode something for me.
Sure.
His most recent tweet, Schwartz, this is from last night. It's a picture of the television screen from the All-Star race at Bristol, Tennessee. And it says, "Fans in the stands at the NASCAR All-Star race in Bristol, Tennessee." Why do you think that without an opinion, without a take, without anything besides the clear black and white fact, here is a picture of fans in the stands at NASCAR's All-Star race? Why do you think he posted that?
Well, I could tell you, DA, as the Schwartz on Sports beat reporter like myself, Pete has been very big, I would say, going back to at least Memorial Day weekend, on not understanding why fans can't go to games with masks on. So much so that he has been at war with Governor Cuomo in New York, his own war. Asking why it is that the Long Island Ducks can't have 25% capacity and they had to cancel their season, but people can go onto their field and watch movies like the Long Island Ducks are trying to do, like so many minor league teams are doing. And he's also tweeted last week that, you know, what are they doing with all the foul balls if guys can't go to games? He has been all over the fact that he can't come to grips with, we're playing sports, there should be a way for fans to get in there. And I think that was just his subtle jab at Governor Cuomo, who he's fighting with, who Governor Cuomo still doesn't know that Peter Schwartz is fighting with him, and anybody else, that, look, somebody is getting this done with fans in the stands, and he should be allowed to be a fan in a stand in New York. That was a subtle – he was looking for a little fact to back up his resume and his constant Twitter war, because frankly, I think he's run out of ticket stubs to tweet about past games. That was a big thing he was doing for a while, and he just needs a fresh stub.
It definitely feels like he is dropping some Easter eggs. Oh, here's an event with fans. Oh, maybe I can attend one of these events as a fan. Oh, why aren't more events having fans?
And do you think last night, DA, he's sitting on the couch? I'm assuming the Schwartz has a one living room, one TV situation. His wife doesn't get up and go, "Why are you taking a picture of the TV? Why are you doing that?" And he has to turn around and explain, "Well, I got to show the world that there's fans," as if he's the only one watching. "And I have to show everybody who says that there can't be fans that there's fans on here." And she doesn't turn to him and go, "Pete, just sit down. Sit. Nobody cares. Sit down. People are aware. The race is on national TV. They know there's fans. We don't need you doing any of that." But it's all supportive in that house. It's nonstop supportive of these antics, and it just doesn't end.
Antics. Antics. Antics even. When we come back here aboard the DA show. It just continues. What a weekend it's going to be. What a morning it has already been. We have the story of, in Washington, the changing of the team name and a squatter trying to throw some monkey wrenches into what the new team name could be. And on top of that, in Washington, there is a lot of worry about what this bombshell story that's supposed to drop from the Washington Post is going to be today, surrounding the ownership and toxic culture of Washington football under Dan Snyder. So we'll get to that. But first, standing by is a kind sir. He's our update anchor extraordinaire. He is Andrew Bogish, and he has our headlines this morning. Good morning, AB.
DA, it was the largest crowd so far in NASCAR's return. Bristol Motor Speedway selling as many as 30,000 tickets. Estimates had about 20 grand actually in the stands last night for the circuit's annual All-Star race. Chase Elliott got the win in the $1 million check. He and dad Bill are the second father and son to win this race, with the Earnhardts, of course, being the first. The Cleveland Browns made their extension with Myles Garrett official yesterday. It reportedly includes over $100 million in total guarantees, which would be the most ever for a defensive player. As we were just discussing, no extension for Dak Prescott before yesterday's deadline, but Titans running back Derrick Henry got one in a relative surprise, 4 years with $25.5 mil guaranteed for the league's leading rusher. The Jaguars were not going to sign and Yannick Ngakoue long-term. They couldn't trade him either before the deadline, so now in all, 12 players will play the coming season on that franchise tag. Indiana Pacers guard Victor Oladipo was always going to the bubble with his team, but at first wasn't going to play. But that might be changing after a few practices in Florida.
Being with the guys, around the guys, and coming out here and playing, and like I said, being able to practice with the guys at a high level. I feel like if my body keeps trending and the situation keeps trending up, there's a strong possibility that I might play. So I'm definitely trying to.
Oladipo originally decided not to play because he's just back from a ruptured quad tendon that cost him an entire calendar year. Army AD Mike Buddy echoing his Navy counterpart, saying if there's only one football game they play this fall, it'll be the Army-Navy game. It's currently scheduled for December in Philadelphia. Tiger Woods is back on the golf course today, his first event in 5 months. Tiger playing with Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka at the Memorial, an event that Tiger's won 5 times. They tee off in the 1 Eastern hour. The Washington Mystics say Elena Deladon remains on their roster and will be paid whether she plays this summer or not. The WNBA is taking a lot of heat for its medical panel denying Deladon's request to be medically excused from the bubble. Deladon has Lyme disease, and her doctor believes she's at higher risk for infection and the worst COVID complications. 5-star forward Jonathan Kuminga is the latest elite recruit to pick the new G League developmental program. Kuminga is projected a top 5 pick in the 2021 draft. And San Jose won a thriller with Vancouver 4-3 at the MLS tourney at Disney World last night. The Quakes were down 3-1, scored the winner in the 98th minute. DA, back to you.
Thank you, AB. Appreciate it. We continue to wait today to see what the Washington Post piece is about concerning Dan Snyder. What a wild week it's already been. The team admits they're going to be changing their team name. We wait for the bombshell to drop sometime today, we think. And will the team run into issues changing the name because of one cyber squatter. We'll do that story coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks so much for being with us. Happy Thursday to you. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. The DA Show, available in podcast form. Listen to us on demand, whatever it is that you want to listen to us. Full episodes available there, or the best of the show every single morning. So just go to your favorite podcast platform, search The DA Show, and you'll get both the full episodes and the best of condensed version every single day, along with the PGP, the permission granted podcast, the show about the show, which also was taped yesterday, uploaded, and published yesterday afternoon. So a fresh episode of the PGP available as well. This morning, the internet is abuzz with anticipation over this upcoming Washington Post article. All week long, there's been little crumbs left across the internet that the Washington Post is preparing to drop an explosive piece on Dan Snyder and the Washington Football Organization. There's all types of scandalous rumors about what that could be, what it could be about. But if there's any credibility, any truth to what the rumors are, it sounds as though this is going to paint Dan Snyder in a really awful light, even more so than he's already been painted in over the years. I think I can honestly say, no matter what is in this upcoming piece, Dan Snyder has proven not to be a good guy. I mean, that's just the long and the short of it. The Dan Snyder for 20 years has overseen just a disastrous football product. But that's the least of it. That while the coaches have changed, the quarterback has changed, the roster has changed, the football's been pretty much a disgrace for 20 years. It's stuff that's happened around the franchise that has proven that, forget just not having a good football sense, that Dan Snyder's just not a good guy. That Dan Snyder's been tyrannical. He has been a bully. He has been impetuous. He has been a guy that changed course, fired people erratically, hired the next person, fired the next person, has been intimidating, bullying, has been stubborn, has been defiant. That Dan Snyder, for whatever it was that made him think that he was a genius, it has essentially rendered all of his relationships around that city and with that organization to be just burning. And that's been this case for a long time. And there's been just dysfunction and discord around that organization since he took over. And the local politicians that have tried to work with him for stadium deals don't like him. And marketing people or sponsorship people that have worked around the team and with the organization and him don't like him. And on the wheel spins. So we'll see what this Washington Post story is all about. We'll see just how much of a bombshell it is. But the one thing you can say is that for 20 years, it's been pretty obvious people don't like Dan Snyder. And there's a pretty good reason for that. There's teams that are bad at football, but their owners usually get a pass. You know, in Cleveland, Jimmy Haslam has overseen some of the worst football in NFL history. And he's been a nightmare as an owner. But by and large, it's pretty crazy. He's got defenders. He's got people in the league that say, you know, he's trying hard. He's made a couple bad hires, but he wants to get it right. The people like working with him and for him. I mean, I don't know, but you hear that. There are no defenders of Dan Snyder. None. There's not a peep out there. People don't like working for him or with him or around him. So on this point, they're going to try to change the name at some point. They're already announced that it will no longer be the team name. So now they're in this in-between of what will it be, logo changes, labeling changes, marketing changes, and what's that going to look like? What's the new team name going to be? Is it going to be the Warriors? Is it going to be the Red Tails? Is it going to be the Red Wolves? Well, there's one guy, Martin McCauley, who has bought the trademarks to all of these potential team names. He's a noted trademark squatter who has registered trademarks for countless team nicknames over the years. He has squatted on a ton of the potential team names. And his defense is, man, I don't want to slow down the team change. I want to help it come along, so I don't want anybody being difficult to work with. He said, I wish they would tell me what I need to do to get out of their way to change the name if I'm some obstacle, because I want them to change the name. I'm embarrassed for it, and I don't want to do anything that slows it down. I thought if I hoarded all the good names, that would keep someone else who might be a pain in the neck from getting them. I can't buy this. I'm sorry. I just don't believe that a guy that is buying up all the trademarks to the Washington football team names is doing this out of the goodness of his heart. I don't buy that at all. This guy is looking for a payday. And it's a little weird. It's kind of like the guy that bought up all of the hand sanitizer when COVID broke out and wanted to sell it on the black market. It's a little bit like that. You're clearly an opportunist. You're clearly trying to sneak in, find a loophole, and then cash on it. Cash out on it. It's legal. He had the foresight to do it, and I'm sure he's going to try to sell it to Washington at a high bid. But you can't convince me that this is out of the goodness of his heart. I just didn't want anybody else to be a roadblock. I just don't want a real jerk to own it. I don't want to hang this up. I want to be the facilitator. I mean, I'm sorry, Mraz. I ain't buying that this is just about him trying to be a good guy here.
No, because if you were trying to be a good guy, you would be like the rest of the country and not buying up names and instead just supporting the fact that they're changing the name. You want to profit off of it. It's the only reason you would hoard names as a trademark. I actually find the whole thing really pathetic if that is your hobby. Oh, I could foresee a name change here. Let me capitalize and trademark all of these now. It's pathetic. That is a guy who needs a real, true, actual hobby and path in life, because I find it's gross almost.
He's got the trademark to the Washington Red Tails, Renegades, Red Hawks, the Americans, also Washington Football Club. He even bought the trademark to, if they don't have a team name, the Washington Football Club that they might use this year, he would profit on that as well. This can't be out of the goodness of his heart. No, I can't buy that.
Follow the money as it is with everybody. He wanted to capitalize. It's absolutely ridiculous. And by the way, I'd spite him. I'd find a name that he didn't trademark. And even if the name stinks, just as long as we win, the name is not racist, and this guy doesn't profit, I think we go with it.
So just run with like Washington Big Boys.
Exactly. Yeah, give it to me, big boy.
How about the Hogs? How about just becoming the Washington Hogs? Would that be so bad? Why not?
Give me a pig on the side of the helmet.
Oink, oink, oink.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.